right. Well, it's good to see you back again tonight. And some of you, good to see you for the first time. And we've been having a great revival thus far, one night in. And we're anticipating God just to continue to work in this service. I so appreciate the presence of the Lord that I sense here tonight. And I just have a feeling God's really wanting to do something in this service tonight. Praise His name. If you have your Bibles this evening, turn with us to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I trust that you've been listening for God's voice throughout the day today. That maybe He just maybe might have spoken to you about something in your life. Maybe something important. And I hope that you heard the message loud and clear. And hopefully tonight in this service, God will speak to you. And maybe He'll encourage your heart. Maybe He'll speak to you about a need. But I just encourage us all just to mind God and say yes to Him. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word tonight. We're going to begin our reading at verse 15. And just read a few verses together here tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15, it says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, and that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passeth over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life, and thy length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." And for our key verse tonight, I'd like for us to look real close there at verse 19, where it says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. Therefore, choose life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence that's here tonight. Lord, we're so grateful that you've chosen to come by this direction this evening. And Lord, we're just anticipating you to continue, Lord, to be in our midst here tonight to speak to us. Through your word, through the message, O God, that your servants prepared. And we're just asking, O God, that you would help us to have open and receptive hearts and help us to be obedient to your voice in our lives. And Lord, we'll just be careful to give you praise for victory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Edwin Thomas was a master actor during the last part of the 1800s. He wasn't a big man, but he had a big voice. And there was none that were better. He played Richard II at the age of 15, and he was quickly seen as a superior Shakespearean actor. He acted in New York, he acted in London as well, and he was a hit both places. And his career just seemed to be well on its way. But then something happened. It wasn't something that he chose, or that he was responsible for, or even anything that he could control. You see, Edwin had two brothers who were both actors too, but neither one of them had the success that he did. He and his two brothers, they had performed Julius Caesar together, and the fact that his brother John played the role of Brutus who killed the emperor seemed kind of eerie shortly after. In April of 1865, Edwin's brother John slipped into the Ford Theater and assassinated Abraham Lincoln. You see, Edwin's last name was Booth. His brother was John Wilkes Booth. And after the night that his brother killed the President of the United States, Edwin was never really the same. His shame over what his brother had done forced him to retire. And he might never have acted again if he had not been forced into this strange twist of fate at a train station one day in New Jersey. As Edwin was just waiting on the platform for his train, a young man fell from the platform and landed between the platform and the oncoming train. And Edwin, without a thought, hooked his leg around a rail and he pulled this well-dressed young man to safety. Edwin, he didn't even recognize that particular young man that he had saved, but the young man recognized him. And weeks later, Edwin got a letter that really changed his life. He carried that particular letter in his pocket until the day he died. The letter was from General Adams Badeau, who was the chief secretary of General Ulysses S. Grant. And the letter was to thank Edwin for saving the life of the son of former President Abraham Lincoln. You see, it was Robert Todd Lincoln, the son of Abraham Lincoln, that was the young man that Edwin had saved. And Edwin's choice to act changed his life. It's kind of strange, you know. Edwin and John, they had the same parents, they had the same profession, the same passion for acting, but one chose life and the other chose death. There's no way that we can know how it happened, but their story is not unique. It's been repeated over and over and over again throughout history. You guys, all of us know here, there's different accounts given in the Bible. Cain and Abel, they were both sons of Adam and Eve. But Abel chose God and Cain chose murder and God let him. Abraham and Lot, they were both foreigners in Canaan and faced with this epidemic with their possessions. Abraham chose God and Lot chose Sodom and God let him. David and Saul, they were both great kings in Israel. And David chose God and Saul chose power and God let him. Peter and Judas, they both betrayed Jesus. Peter chose forgiveness and mercy and Judas chose suicide and God let him. In world history and in the Bible, there is one thing that has always been true and evident, and that is that God lets us make our choices. And the choice is very clear from the text that we read in our key verse tonight. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. And then we have the admonition, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. So the choice is ours. And God gives us the freedom to make it. There's numerous illustrations given throughout the Bible. One is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, where it talks about how we can't serve two masters because we'll either hate the one and love the other or we'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. And it says you can't serve both God and mammon or God and money. Serve God or you got to serve riches. It's the choice. It's very plain. And then the next chapter goes on to give us another choice of, and Jesus, as he's wrapping up the sermon there on the mount, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock, and then the rains come and the streams rise and the winds blow and beat against the house. And, you know, it stands. It doesn't fall because its foundation is on the rock. But he said, everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rains come down, the streams rise, the winds blow, they beat against the house, and the house falls with a great crash. So the choice is, build your house on the rock, build it on the sand. It's a plain choice, and the choice is up to you. Later on, also in Matthew, we find that in chapter 25, it talks about how all the nations will be gathered before God on the day of judgment. And he's going to separate the people, one from the other, as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and he'll put the goats on his left. But it's our choice that determines whether we're a sheep or a goat. You see, it's our choice whether we choose to identify with the sheep or whether we choose to identify with the goats. The sheep will inherit heaven, and the goats everlasting fire in hell. And it's our choice to be a sheep or a goat. And we've been given the privilege to make that choice. God gives us the privilege to make choices, the biggest choice we can possibly make, where we spend eternity. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, it says, "Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." We have been given the right by God to make eternal choices that have eternal consequences. When Jesus was crucified, He was crucified between two thieves. And I don't know if you've ever wondered why were there two crosses by Jesus? Why not more? Have you ever wondered why Jesus ended up in the middle? Why wasn't He all the way to the right, or why wasn't He all the way to the left? And maybe it was God, one of God's signs. Maybe the two crosses on either side of the Savior represented the greatest gift that God has ever given to mankind, the right to choose where we will spend eternity. And just like the other people that we've talked about, these two criminals on either side of Jesus, they had a lot in common. They were convicted by the same legal system. They were both condemned to die the same death. They were at the mercy of the same crowd. They were both as close to Jesus as the other. And they both initially began hurling insults at Jesus. But then one of them changed. Luke 23, 39, 43 says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, 'If Thou be the Christ, save Thyself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Dost Thou not fear God, seeing Thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.'" There have been a lot of sermons preached about the thief that chose Jesus. But we forget the one who didn't choose Jesus most of the time. You know, why didn't God just make him choose Jesus? Why didn't Jesus say, "Hey, buddy, you're about ready to go to hell. You better change your mind about me." In Luke 15, we find three parables, and you're familiar with these parables. One about a lost sheep, another about a lost coin. The last story is about a lost son. And the shepherd leaves the 99 sheep, and he goes to look for that one lost sheep. The woman sweeps the whole house to look for the one lost coin. But what about the story of the lost son? What did the father of the son do? He did nothing except for watch for him. So what's the difference? Well, the sheep was lost innocently. It just wandered off. The coin was lost maybe accidentally or irresponsibly. But the son made a conscious choice. And the father in the story of the lost son gave the son a choice. And Jesus gave the thieves on the cross the same choice too. There are times when God will send things into our lives to get our attention. And there is never a time when we're to look at sinners and say, "Oh, they're getting what they deserve," and not even try to attempt to evangelize them or introduce them to Jesus. In fact, the Bible says just the opposite. But one thing is true, and always will be, and that is that God gives us the right to choose where we spend eternity, and He honors that choice. And you know what? It's really a great honor. There's a lot of things about our lives we're not allowed to choose. We can't choose our natural eye color, our natural hair color. We can't choose our height. We're not allowed to choose our brothers or our sisters or where we're born. We're not allowed to choose whether we're born rich or poor. And at sometimes, you know, it just makes us mad. Why can't we choose our height? Or if we can sing or not? Or how fast we can run? Or how strong we can be? It's not fair. But I'll be honest with you, it's definitely made up for in one thing. And that is, we are allowed to make the most important decision in life, whether we go to heaven or whether we go to hell. We were given the right to decide where we'll spend forever. And we're created in a way that we get to make the most important choice that we will ever make. Aren't you glad it's that way? I mean, certainly you wouldn't have wanted it the other way, would you? That you were just automatically forced to go one or the other? Would you have wanted God to allow you to choose your height, your weight, your strength, how fast you could run, what your hair color would be, if you would be rich or poor? And then it was decided if you would spend eternity in heaven or hell based on a lottery system without even giving you an opportunity to choose. None of us would want that. You see, these things that we're not allowed to choose, and these things that we perhaps maybe yell about and say, oh, it's not fair, They're just temporary, but the choice that we are given, the privilege to make, lasts forever. We get to make the most important choice. And with that most important choice, we have the opportunity to choose right and righteousness. And by doing so, we can remove the eternal consequences of all the wrong choices that we've ever made. Praise God. What about the thief on the cross? Let's take a look at him again for a minute. He made some bad mistakes. He chose the wrong crowd. He chose wrong morals and the wrong behavior. But in the end, the thief that repented made a good choice. One good choice. And it changed all the bad ones that he had ever made. We've all made some bad choices in life. And I'll be the first to admit, I know I have. And I know that, like most people, if you look back on the choices that you wish you hadn't made and thought, oh man, if I could just somehow make up for those bad choices, the good news is, you can. One good choice that makes the difference in eternity makes all the difference in 10,000 bad choices that are made here on earth. How can two boys be born to the same mother, grow up in the same home and family, and one choose life and the other choose death? I don't know. I don't understand it. But I know that it happens every day. And how can two men see the same Jesus and one choose to mock him and the other one choose to pray to him? I don't know. But they did. And I know that when one chose to pray to him, that Jesus loved him enough to save him. And when the other chose to reject him, Jesus loved him enough to let him. He allowed him the choice. And he allows all of us here the same choice too. I hope that you make your choice well, because eternity rests on it. Our key verse says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life, and it's not too late to choose him. Edwin Booth, the man in the story at the beginning of the sermon, he made a good choice, and it changed the rest of his life. And all of us here this evening, we have that same ability. But I encourage you, don't wait too long. Because none of us know how long we will have the chance to make the right choice. I'd like to invite the musician to come and begin to play just something softly. There was a man some time ago who got lost in a desert. And after wandering around for a long, long time, his throat became very dry. And about that time, he saw a little shack in the distance. And he made his way over to that shack. And he found a water pump with a small little jug of water and a note. And the note read, pour all the water into the top of the pump to prime it. If you do, this will get all the water that you need. Now, this man, he had a pretty important choice to make. If he trusted the note and he poured all the water in and it worked, he would have all the water that he needed. But if it didn't work, he would still be thirsty, and there was a good chance he would die. Or he could choose to just drink the water in the jug and get immediate satisfaction, but it might not last him long enough until he found the next water supply, and he just might die. After thinking about it, the man decided to risk it, and he poured the entire jug into the pump, and he began to work the handle. And at first, nothing happened at all. But then, water started coming out. And so much water came out that he drank all he wanted. He took a bath. He filled all the containers he could find. Because he was willing to give up momentary satisfaction, he got all the water he needed. And now the little note on the pump says this: after you finished, it went on to say, please refill the jug for the next traveler. So the man refilled the jug, and he got out a pen and he added to the note, please prime the pump. Believe me, it works. And tonight I urge you, accept this life. I've tried it and it works. It will require all that you have, but you will get so much more in return. Choose life. Choose Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. The choice is very plain and clear tonight. It's life or death. And tonight, you choose. Will it be life or will it be death? The Bible admonishes us to choose life. It says it's so important that we choose life because it's not only our lives that we're impacting, but it says also our seed or the generation to come. So vitally important that we choose right on this decision, the most important decision that we'll ever make in this life. How about it this evening? Is there someone here that God's been speaking to you? He's been talking to you, and you want to choose life tonight. You recognize, I've been living for my own self. I've been living for my own desires. But I realize, in doing so, I'm choosing death. And tonight, I want to come to the altar, and I want to let God know, and I want to let this church know that I'm choosing life. I'm choosing life. Is there anybody like that, that just would step out real quickly here at the close of this service and come to this altar, and we'd be happy to pray with you and have a closing word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence we've sensed here in this place this evening. We're so grateful, oh God, that you you gave us the opportunity to choose. And Lord, we're thankful that we can choose life. And Lord, when we choose you, we find not only life, but we find life abundantly. And we're so thankful for that. We find eternal life, and we give you praise for that. We're asking, oh God, that you would just be faithful, Lord, to the hearts of those, Lord, who perhaps have not chosen you yet. Those, Lord, who perhaps are still desiring their own way. We're asking, oh God, that even tonight, after this service, Lord, that perhaps some of the thoughts from this sermon, oh God, would just replay over in their minds. And Lord, that they would even, before they pillow their heads tonight, find a place of prayer. And Lord, that they would choose you. And Lord, that they would choose life. Lord, we'll be careful to give you praise for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your kind attention tonight. Shake hands one with another. Consider yourselves dismissed.